today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
I want everybody in this house today to say the name of Jesus. Glory to God. There's power in the name of. There's healing in the name of. There's deliverance in the name of. Glory to God. There's restoration in the name of. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My Rose of Sharon. My Lily of the Valley. My bright and morning star. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Radical Encounters That Transform Lives. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 4.
The book of Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Holy Spirit, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, part B of a message that we started today under the series Divine Encounters. This passage will speak of Paul's conversion, the phenomenal apostle of the New Testament that reveals Christ to us in a deeper way, chosen by God as one of the elect, not a part of the 12 disciples, but chosen by God to write. He records much of the New Testament. Here, the physician Luke, that writes the Gospel of Luke, is the author. He writes to one man, to the great Theophilus, about the acts of the Holy Spirit or the acts of the apostles. We want to look at verse 1 of chapter 9 out of the New King James Version of the Bible. It reads like this: Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Leave the people of God alone. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a great light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Give notice to verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Verse 4, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I want to talk to you today in a series, from a series called Divine Encounters. The Lord is doing some things by interrupting our plans. He's also sending checks in the mail. Going to interrupt your plan. The checks is not for you to just party. He wants you to break off some of that and sow into your future. And that is to sow into your ministry. And people don't know why God gives them extra money. If God has been good to you, you ought to tell somebody. And you got to learn how to sow a seed into the kingdom of God. It will give long life and prosperity. It will keep on you will keep on reaping if you sow. Today's message in our late service is entitled Radical Encounters That Transform Lives. That's part two. Radical encounters, expect them, that transform lives. Father, thank you for this moment in time, and thank you for the day that you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I thank you for the encounter with your spirit, the radical encounter. For some, you're pursuing with all diligence. For others, you're interrupting our plans. For some, we're on our way. We have our own agenda. For some, you're hitting with a brilliant light. Father, I thank you for these divine interruptions, because in them you're showing us your love. For the prophet in the Old Testament that beat his donkey because he couldn't see the flaming sword, but the donkey could. Father, open our eyes that we might see. If you block our path, it is for our benefit. And if you allow us to do what we do without any obstruction, it is for our testing. And I give you praise, glory, and honor for going before the word of God preached. Give us ears to hear, a mind to comprehend, hearts to receive, and a spirit to contain your word, and we will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. On roll with me, we need to do our confession of faith. Don't get bored with it. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God. I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God that abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed. My heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Your confession of faith, the solid front of your confession. Before I dig into five essentials, I want to just say that the book of Acts is one of my favorite because it is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Very powerful. The church is experiencing here in chapter 9 persecution, yet it grew by leaps and bounds while being persecuted. In China, the church is being persecuted. Communism is trying to stop people from worshiping. Many of us that shop on the Amazon are actually buying Chinese brand things, which is the great copier. And so they'll take a Nike and change it just a little bit and sell it as Nike, but it didn't come from Nike. And the great copier is going around the world copying everything that's branded and selling it to us at a cheaper rate. And we've gotten used to taking the thing that's less quality and embracing it just because it's cheaper. And our culture is changing. The church in China, though, is still growing underground. We're getting reports that people are underground seeking Jesus, having prayer meetings. And you can't stop God's people no matter where you are. The church is growing in Russia. The church is growing in Iran. Even though that regime is very dangerous. And we're watching things around the world. Here in chapter 9, a man by the name of Saul, a young man, that is very aggressive as he breathes threats to the church, unto those who are serving Jesus. You saw it in the text. He says he got letters from the high priest to go into any synagogue that is like ISIS, like ICE. Not ISIS, like ICE in Minneapolis and around this country right now under the authority of President Trump, were going to churches, going to schools, taking people that are at work and dragging them away from their families and taking them to camps because they don't have the proper documentation. And without any due process, Paul was like that, Saul. But he would drag people out of church. You see it in the text, male and female. He didn't care if their dress came up. He didn't care how they looked. He'll grab them by the ankles, snatch them out. He had no dignity. He felt like what they were doing was against the law of Moses. And anybody that called the name of Jesus, he attacked them. We don't have that kind of desperation today. We're real free. But you need to read the text and see what the early church went through. And one of the reasons why they were able to stand the test of time is because of their testing. As soon as we get tested in church, the first thing we want to do is back up. But not these people. When they got tested in church, they came back the next week. with the right attitude, with the right disposition, with the right temperament. Come on, somebody, with the right texture. Everybody want to talk noise, but I thank God for the modern century, but I'm also grieved by it. Because many of us and many of our forefathers raised us not to endure what they went through. So I didn't march with Martin Luther King. I came up pretty good. I had male and female, black and white and Hispanic friends when I was in high school. And so I didn't taste the desperation that comes from segregation. I was integrated. Yet I had a few seeds of that I had to deal with, but nothing like my father had to deal with. I didn't have to. I didn't see anybody hanging in Mississippi in the woods. I didn't have to walk 5 miles just to go to school. If we had to do that today, I don't know if we would be educated. I don't know, man, if you had to walk to church, you couldn't drive. I can't make that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, but you'll walk everywhere else. Even the places that you don't need to go. Can somebody say amen? We haven't tasted desperation. This church did in the early church, and they still thrived and became a better church. They still loved each other. They still sold, even though a man by the name of Saul was attacking them. This was not a normal kind of man. This is the kind of guy who was very well educated and aggressive. Josephus says he was a short man, so he had the Napoleon complex. And one of those kind of guys that doesn't have a lot of height but feel like he need to prove himself all the time. And so he's dragging women and dragging people away. Also, he was very, very educated. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel to be taught and trained in the arts of theology, or the Torah, I would say, the law of God that Moses gave. He was very key. They believe he could speak 7 languages clearly. We know he could speak Greek, and we know he could speak ancient Hebrew. He can speak Roman or Italian because he was a Roman citizen. Very unique person, dragging people out of the house of God and taking them to jail just by calling the name of Jesus. And that's what the enemy is doing now. Modern day Sauls don't want you to say the name of Jesus. He doesn't care if you say God, I love God, what about you? But when you say that name, Jesus, it shifts people. Can somebody say amen? Can you say the name of Jesus even while I'm preaching? Some people still won't say it. I want everybody in this house today to say the name of Jesus. Glory to God. There's power in the name of. There's healing in the name of. There's deliverance in the name of. Glory to God. There's restoration in the name of. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My Rose of Sharon. My Lily of the Valley. My bright and morning star. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's nobody like Jesus. Don't forget Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Always keep him on your mind. And Paul is on his way to Damascus here to take men and women to prison that belong to the way. But while he got close to Damascus, God did not allow him to complete his assignment. He got close to Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, flashed around him. The scripture says he fell to the ground off of his beast, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, he probably never thought he was persecuting God when he was dragging people out of the church. That's why we need to understand when people are coming against you, they're not coming against you, they're coming against the God that's in you. And you better leave the people of God alone. Can somebody say amen? It will be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck than to offend one of the little ones of God. And who is the little one? The little one may not always be the preacher. It may be the one that you don't like the most, but it could be the preacher. So be careful how you handle the little ones. And the ones that's little to you may be gigantic to God because they have pride. So you can't judge who the little ones are. I believe the little ones are tied to humility. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. So I wanted to give you the backdrop here as Paul, or Saul, is being arrested by God while he's on his way to hurt God's people. And so the book of Acts of the Apostles of the Holy Spirit is key. From this book of Acts, where Saul, who became Paul, experienced a suddenly with Jesus. As I said in the early service, we're experiencing radical encounters, and we're also experiencing changing times. Most leaders around the world that you see today in the next 10 years will not be a leader. That means that nation will have a new regime. In the great country, then the country of Iran, the supreme leader was killed by an Israeli strike, and some of his cabinet members. His son now is heralded to that top spot. They believe he's wounded. His wife was killed, so you know he's got resentment. His mother and his father was killed by the Israelis recently. And Iran is different because they have proxies. Remember that word. They have cell groups around the world that they've been funding. And they're awakening these cells. Some of them are in America. And some of us don't pray because the bomb hadn't hit your house. But you better believe what's going on there is about to come to the shores of America. And all of your plans may just get interrupted. Because this is a volatile world. You got a leader in the White House that's not really governed by precedent and spirituality and wisdom and experience. Whatever's transactional, if it's going to benefit me, that's how he moves. The whole church is applauding him. Evangelicals is saying he's strong. But when you blow up babies and when you don't care about people, it doesn't matter if they're your enemy. You got to use restraint when you're dealing with people. And you don't get on the mic and say, I'm glad that Robert Mueller is dead. I'm glad he did. Because you don't talk like that when you're in the top spot. Because what's going to happen is people that are in the pews going to start talking like that. I don't care about Bishop. I don't care. He's dead. I don't give a flying flip. And it starts turning like that in the home. And then it turns like that to people you don't like. And it turns like that to all of the people in the church. And we don't care anymore. Because we've lost chivalry. That's why we got to demand more from our leaders. Because I can't say, I don't care if you dead and y'all come back tomorrow. You hold me to a higher standard than you do the president. I can't say that. And you say he's a good pastor. I got to watch what I say lest I offend you. But you don't even say a word. You don't care. And nobody's praying. We've got to get back to praying and holding our people accountable. You don't care what comes out your mouth. You only care when it comes out my mouth. We got to get ourselves together. Can the church say amen? Oh, my God. Everybody get tight. Everybody get tight when I say something. But president all up on social media, say whatever. Nobody, that's just Trump. Man got his finger on nuclear bombs. 3,000 Marines on their way at his word. And you talking about your son in the military? We all need to be praying. Your daughter's there? We all need to be praying. Listen, if you messed up with Jeffrey Epstein, then face the piper. But you don't start a war to get the people off of. Listen, man. Can I continue? Glory to God. We're experiencing major shifts here. Cultural shifts, like how social media changed the way we communicate. People don't talk anymore, they text. Let me just remind you, if you capitalize all of your words, it means you're shouting. Don't send me text like that. Please take me off group text. Please. Don't put me, if you want to talk to me as an individual, please don't send me a group text. got my number with people that I don't know. If you have my number, you should protect it. Everybody don't have my number. So if you have it, why are you putting me in a group text? One text turning to 50. Because people respond, not bling, bling. Listen, I don't have time to be on my phone like that. I'm dealing with issues. What about technology, technological shifts? We moved from landlines to cell phones, smartphones. Major deal. Many of us came up where we had to, if you wanted to make a call, you had to stop and talk on a landline. Or you had a landline in your house. In my house growing up, there was only one. Yet there's six kids. My father said at 10 o'clock, turn the TV off. There was only one. Now we got kids, they feel like they are marginalized. They up all night, can't go to work because you all night on the phone. We didn't understand those kind of times. Technology has shifted things. And if you don't watch it, because when Megan came up, she said, Dad, I want an iPhone. And I really battle with that. That portal opened you up to a whole nother society where today you can talk to people from around the world that may not like me, but they want you. They don't even have to knock on my door. They could come through the back door, through the window of technology. We have lost our ability to govern. We think liberty is so free that it should be given to even kids. And we're allowing our children to eat knowledge before they grow in stature. They got knowledge, but they don't have the controls on the inside. They don't know how to say no. They don't know how to show chivalry, to be polite to folk. Whatever they feel is internal. If it doesn't feed them, they won't be involved in it. That's what's happening around the world. Technology changed that. What about spiritual and social context? Shifts are taking place spiritually. As I explained to the early church, there's a second heaven here, and we're experiencing more traffic today in the second heaven. First of all, we have satellites in the world. And so everything you're dealing with, it comes through a signal. Well, how do you know if the signal is pure? How do you know if TikTok is not being viewed by China, and when you put it on your phone, they're watching you in your house? Because you just see the tick to the tick of the talk, but you don't see the spy that's behind it. All you caught up with is selfies and videos, but you don't see the plan behind it. To be able to look around this land at how our young people are moving. Their algorithms are speaking to them. They're going out doing things that they should. And we know what makes you weak. We can tell what makes you weak. We can tell what you don't like based on your own appetites. So we feed it to you so you'll vote a certain way and we can get certain things passed when the right people we want is in office. Because they've been able to manipulate your behavior. And there's no morality, there is no God that's directing us. Because we're caught up with eating that, by taking that bite from the apple. But you got the knowledge before you grew up. It's easily assessed. Of all trees you shall eat of, except the tree that's in the midst. For the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. I don't believe God was trying to keep the knowledge of good and evil from us forever, but he was trying to wait until you got him in your heart. He's trying to wait until you're actually walking with him enough that when you get knowledge, you will not leave him alone. David tasted desperate, but not Solomon. So when Solomon took the throne, he asked God for wisdom. God says, I like you, and I like the way you move. And since you asked me, I'm going to give you wisdom. So much so, no one before you or after you will have the same type of wisdom that you have. I'm going to teach you about the stars and about insects. I'm going to teach you about medicines and all type animals, mammals, and sea creatures. I'm going to teach you trade routes. I'm going to teach you about law. I'm going to allow wisdom to speak in your ear. She will look like an unattractive woman that's speaking into your mind about what you need to do concerning marriage and concerning rape and concerning issues, concerning women and concerning men and politics. And so if you want to keep peace, you need to marry 600 of all of the kings of the world and build them palaces, because it will be hard for them to attack you if their daughter is living with you. And then you're going to have 300 concubines. That is, you can go into all of them and have fun. It wasn't all about sex. It was about politics. Oh, my God. And so, and when Solomon got that kind of wisdom, he stopped praying. David always asked God, Lord, should I go after this troop? And God says, go up, I will give it in your hand. But if you watch Solomon, he said, give me wisdom and I'll take it from there. In other words, give me an education, I don't need y'all no more. Give me a job, I don't need to go to church no more. Give me what you want, give me what I want, and I don't need to talk to you no more, because I got the knowledge. This is why God wants to interrupt our plans with a divine interruption. A divine encounter. Can somebody say amen?
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Radical Encounters That Transform Lives, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
New members class is every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the TR Palm Bay campus and after the 11 a.m. service at TR North. You can also join us for the new members intensive at the TR Palm Bay campus on Saturday, May 2nd, and complete all 8 orientation lessons in one day. Class begins promptly at 9 a.m. Please arrive by 8:30 a.m. to sign in. For more information, email connect@truthrevealed.org. The School of Prayer will kick off at the TR Palm Bay campus on Wednesday, May 6th at 7 p.m. during our midweek worship service. Join us on Thursday, May 7th at 7 p.m. for the National Day of Prayer, and Friday, May 8th at 7 p.m. for our Harp and Bowl.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day. Thank you.